This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Couple of big trades in the NFL. Amari Cooper's been traded again. First time it was Oakland to Dallas and Dallas to Cleveland. Now it's Cleveland to Buffalo as Josh Allen gets a new weapon. And the big deal today was that Davante Adams finally gets traded from the Raiders. He goes to the Jets. And Aaron Rodgers gets another weapon. He gets one of his boys, Mike. We're going to talk more NFL coming up here. We'll get you the top three stories of the day, including the NFL owners meetings going on here in the ATL. Seth Emerson in less than 10 minutes from The Athletic to talk dogs. And while we're mentioning the dogs, Mike, big news about Georgia Tech and the dogs.
Yeah, man. You guys know it's home and home. Good, clean, old-fashioned hate. But in this case, 2025, you'll be hating in Mercedes-Benz and not at Bobby Dodd. We all agree that last year with the emergence of Brent Key and the program in the right direction, I thought more and more Tech fans were there. Unfortunately for Tech, let's be honest, it's what, 14-2 the last 16?
Correct.
It's bad. But the good news is they're getting less Georgia fans there. How it'll work, Georgia Tech fans, some not happy that they're going to miss out on what is part of their season tickets, but Athletic Director Jay Batt sent a message to the fans saying, look, we're getting $10 million from the Mercedes-Benz folks for this game, and that goes to NIL. And transfer point, getting guys and bringing recruits in. So it is kind of a big deal. And as he writes in that letter to the fans or to the alum, it wasn't not a decision that was made lightly, but it's a new era of college athletics. So, Carl, it's more loot for Georgia Tech, and they will get first crack at the tickets for their allotment at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, and Tech has Notre Dame coming up this weekend at Mercedes-Benz as well. Notre Dame comes in as an 11-point favorite. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get some people's attention? Win this game.
Oh,
win this game.
And do everybody a huge favor, as we talked about earlier today, by knocking Notre Dame, who always finds a way to weasel into whatever the playoff format is.
They are currently 12th in the country. We're talking about Notre Dame. They are one loss team. Georgia Tech, two losses. But Georgia Tech has shown some wherewithal, especially after last week with Jamal Haynes running that 68-yard run for the touchdown to win it. I feel like, Mike, and we'll talk later, you know, as the week goes on here tomorrow and over the next, you know, couple of days. But this is a big spot for Tech. We talk about Georgia going to Texas, big spot for Texas, not for Georgia. Listen, Georgia's won a couple of back-to-back national championships. Everybody knows what the program is. For Texas, this is a bigger spot to say, hey, we are back, as a matter of fact. And, oh, by the way, we can compete with the elites in the SEC. So when we start talking about the pressure, Mike, Georgia Tech, show us what you are made of. Don't just make this a game. You're at home. Beat Notre Dame this weekend at Mercedes-Benz.
And one thing for certain, Georgia Tech, you know, they're getting the recruits in. They're supposed to be, according to the guys that cover Tech, if you read some of the same articles, there's going to be a lot of big-time recruits at this game. And this gets you bowl eligible, by the way, went over. If not this week, next week. But that would be huge. And as we said, Notre Dame, you know, they couldn't do anything right. And then all of a sudden the quarterback started finding the end zone through the first three. Remember, they lost to NIU. So you could still, man, that'd be the hell of a story. And then, Brent, we're getting you back on the show.
No, no doubt. Haynes King only has one pick on the season, Mike. I mean, they're doing a really good job. Last week, I thought, again, they had that game in control in North Carolina, let them get back in the game, and then had to find a way to get it done. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Guys, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Turtle, can I hear Kevin Stefanski as we're talking about the NFL? There's a lot of NFL news today, and again, the owners' meeting is going on here in Atlanta as they approve us, Atlanta, getting another Super Bowl 2028. It's great news for our city as we continue to be in the rotation. But one of the things Mike was bringing up is, hey, can we go out and maybe get one of these edge rushers? You said, are the Browns fire-selling it? I don't believe they are. Mike, they don't even want to make a quarterback change. Listen to Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, talking about whether or not the owners are forcing him to play Deshaun Watson.
Well, as you know, I don't get caught up in narratives, but we have a good dialogue with myself, Andrew, ownership about all things that have to do with this team. They've been nothing but supportive, and any decision when it comes to football is my decision.
Okay. Everybody,
when that kind of money's involved, it's your decision?
Yeah, everybody feels it. Haslam.
Come on.
Just like with Tepper in Charlotte, everyone feels in Cleveland that it's Haslam is dictating, you know, where this thing is going. And maybe Stefanski, the best thing for us is just get the hell out of there. And it probably will end up that's going to be the case. Took him to the freaking playoffs last year with Joe Flacco.
Now, would you? I know you would because you do this. I would too, though. Wouldn't you start Jameis?
I thought eating some W's. Yeah. Look, you can't do any worse than Kid Crab Legs.
You can't.
I'm sure what Deshaun Watson's putting on tape right now. It's been brutal.
It's brutal. Stefanski was asked that question, Mike, about Deshaun over Jameis. Listen to this.
I think it's just important that we continue to do everything we can to play good, sound football. I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win.
Okay. I don't believe that with the way that he's played. And then the big question.
That was a lie.
Yes, it was. As we talk about last night, Jets losing to the Bills by 3. Is Tua coming back? We hadn't even really talked about this. And I think my first notion is he's seeing all these specialists. We hadn't even discussed it, Mike, around the country to kind of get second, third opinions. My thing with this is, Mike, nobody can look into his head that way, even with the CAT scan and all the stuff that's taking on, and say 15 years from now, this is what you're going to be suffering from. But here's Mike McDaniel, the coach of the Dolphins, talking about Tua.
There's still information that he's seeking this week. And as far as timelines go, I know he's not playing this week. And I do expect to see him playing football in 2024.
That's this year.
Yeah. Well,
you
I mean,
believe that?
Well, I mean, like the AFC is, you know, kind of a muddled mess once you get past the Bills and the Ravens, Steelers, Texans, Kansas City Chargers. There's a bunch of teams you'd have to climb, but certainly with their schedule, with that offense, you think they could make it work
with him back there.
But this is the great debate. First off, you got to wear the big old Guardian sleeve on your noggin. That's non-debatable. And you've got the thing that makes it so crazy is the contact that took him out of the season could have been so avoided. He literally ran into what's the young man's name? I always go brain dead. Damar Hamlin, who nearly died in Kansas City. He ran into Damar Hamlin's like elbow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what are you doing? So maybe he's going to make better decisions, or that's a byproduct of what he's already been dealing with. I don't get it.
I don't either. Yeah, the Hamlin, it was Cincinnati at Buffalo when Hamlin suffered his injury. Right. But I'm with you, man. I don't know. I just feel like, is it in his best interest to return? If I'm him, and I've said this, I'm going to take the year off, Mike. I'm gonna really evaluate this, and it's hard to say that when you're a competitor and this is what you wanted to do all your life, but that's interesting for Mike McDaniel, which we haven't really talked about anything to. Let's shift gears and talk about the Dogs, Mike, because this is the big game. We're going to continue to break it down. We'll have plenty of guests over the next few days. Tomorrow, Mike and I are up at Flowery Branch talking with Coach Ra, a couple of players, as well as we make our weekly visit up to Falcons headquarters. Kirby Smart talking about what he thinks and why Texas defense is elite.
They're the complete package on defense. They're really consistent. Like, there's not, like, they don't give up explosives. They're really good in the red area. They hard to run the ball on. I mean, the consistency you watch them play with, it reminds me of, you know, some of our better teams here, our best teams here. I'm like, man, they're good on D, they're good on O, they're good on special teams, and they're playing at a high level.
We spoke with Connor Riley from Dog Nation, our weekly visit yesterday, and he was of the opinion, you know, just keep on throwing it because Texas, despite having great numbers in pass defense, has not played anybody like Carson Beck, which is true.
It is.
They haven't, you know, Michigan couldn't really throw it, and the rest of the schedule they played, those guys couldn't do it. Certainly Oklahoma couldn't do it. So he wrote an article today that just posted to Dog Nation, says Georgia football doesn't need its best game to beat Texas. It just needs a complete one. Yes and no.
Yeah, you need your best game.
I think you need your best game to win in Austin. But there are some elements to what Connor's saying. I agree with, yes, Carson Beck will be the best quarterback to dress out against them, hands down.
Yeah.
But again, he can't, you know, come out sluggish and do some of the things that happened against Alabama.
Yeah, and Mike, obviously we're talking about not knowing what the turnover factor is going to be. Is there going to be a special teams return? We don't know all of that. We're just saying if it's a clean game for both teams, they need to play their best game.
But you heard Malachi Starks talking about a bunch of, not no disrespect to the other Bulldogs, but Miss State was getting plays on you. Wheel routes,
exposed,
basic stuff.
Mike, exposed.
And Texas and Sarkisian, with all due respect to, you know, Coach Levy, is going to have a lot more complexities coming at him in Texas.
I totally agree. Here's Kirby talking about the quarterback comparison. Beck and yours. We were talking about these guys as potential Heisman candidates. Yours has been hurt. We know Carson Beck has not put up those kinds of numbers, even though the Dogs are 5-1. Kirby says they're a lot alike.
They're both better athletes than people think. They both have awareness of coverage, and they're really good in the pocket. I mean, this guy's taken off and hurt people running when he needs to, but he also can stand in the pocket and make all the throws and change the protection. So I've really been impressed with him, but that was the case, you know, even last year when I saw him play.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. More on this game coming up as we move through the week. And again, it's a 3.5-point game right now. Dogs are underdogs and heading on the road.
It's funny, every time we mention this, I get, you know, there's always, look, Georgia, it's funny, we're getting it from both ends. We got Tech fans going, stop saying you're selling, Georgia fans buy all the tickets. Well, they kind of historically have it, Bobby Dodd. Then you got Georgia fans going, stop being glass half empty. Well, you had some games against Auburn and Miss State. That's why I keep saying, and again, I know it's a vernacular, Carl, which maybe is being lost in translation. Sandbagging means you're taking your foot off the gas or you're not giving the best effort. It's not to show the total package. Are you telling me that this last 2 weeks has just been Georgia sandbagging for getting ready for Texas?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, if they beat Texas by double digits, Mike, then yeah, then they have been. Hey, man, coming up, Seth Emerson joins us. He gives us his definition of what's going on with the Dogs. Next. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking a lot of college football. Dogs have a big one against Texas this upcoming weekend. And Seth Emerson is here. He covers the Dogs, writes about the SEC for The Athletic. We love his stuff. And Seth, thanks for jumping on with us. Mike and I were talking first and foremost about this move of the Georgia Tech-Georgia game. Again, 1 year. But a lot of fans are hitting us up. We asked them if they like this idea. Tech fans saying not so much because it takes away from their season tickets. It's not included with that. But I think it's a good idea. How do you feel about this?
I think Georgia loves the idea. I mean, Mercedes-Benz is kind of a second home. It's not kind of. It is a second home for them. And potentially next year, now getting to the SEC championship is harder than it used to be in a 16-team league without divisions. But this is potentially setting up Georgia to play Mercedes-Benz twice in a row. So they love it. And obviously it's, you know, I'm sure JBAT and Georgia Tech have looked at the finances of it and the finances to make it work, to make it worth it. I'd be curious to give Brett Key some truth serum to see what he thinks of it. You know, he'll probably say, you know, the right thing publicly. This will help us with revenue sharing coming. This will help us with NIL, et cetera, et cetera. But man, coaches want to win. And the timing of this is what sticks out to me, because I had thought that the Georgia-Georgia Tech rivalry was getting really not even stale, but like just nothing, to the point where you wondered if Georgia would continue it or Georgia Tech would want to continue it. And then last year, that game was great. You know, Georgia Tech was as competitive as they've been with them since 2016. It was a pretty good atmosphere. It helped that it was a night game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. But, you know, there were a lot of Georgia Tech fans. It wasn't Georgia fans taking it over. And so to sell the next one, the very next home game with Georgia, I guess they really needed the money.
It is Seth Emerson. Now, normally his beat is Athens, but we're talking about the Flats today. And it just seems like, you know, Brent Key is on point in the, I said to Coral last segment that when O'Leary was able to beat, you know, inferior dog coaches. Now, Kirby is not that guy, to your point. They're 12-2 is Georgia in the last 14 of these games. But do you think that Brent Key can, now, a huge game for them against Notre Dame, but do you like the way things are going? The money seems to be the big thing. The big money boosters coming in to support the program.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know too much about exactly what's going on with the big money boosters. The last time I really checked in on Georgia Tech was summer of last year. I did a story on their kind of realignment situation, and I know the concern about whether they'd be get, you know, kind of just left behind. I assume that they are like they're going to be willing to do what it takes probably to keep Clemson and Florida State in that league, so that the ACC doesn't fall apart. Because they're better off there rather than, I don't know if they would be picked up by, you know, if it becomes just the SEC and the Big Ten picking up, you know, the North Carolinas and Virginia Techs and, you know, whoever from the ACC. But on the field, Brett Key looks like he's doing the right thing. I mean, you just the fact that they were as competitive as they were with Georgia, and, you know, they've had some good wins and, yeah, we'll see how Notre Dame goes. But they seem to be going in the right direction. It was, you know, Jeff Collins had a way of doing it, and it really didn't work. Brett Key is definitely doing it kind of the opposite way of just no frills, just let's show you some good football. And so far it's working.
Let's talk about this Georgia team. Seth, what do you think is wrong, and why are they not operating at an optimal level? I mean, we know this, even though they're 5-1. A lot of people feel like this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it. One is that, and I wrote this in my SEC Vibes column on Sunday morning, they have not, in their last three wins, they have not covered the spread. So they've been less than impressive, you know, Kentucky, Auburn, Mississippi State. But, you know, Kentucky, that just was kind of a tough game, all right? And they did not play well, but you win your clunkers. That's the mantra, kind of like the Missouri game 2 years ago. Auburn, I mean, they won that game 31-13. You never thought they were going to lose. Never thought Georgia was in any real danger. And Auburn looks like a competent team if it doesn't turn the ball over, which it didn't against Georgia. So an 18-point home win against Auburn may not be anything to really worry about. And then the Mississippi State game, you know, if you look at the final score, you go, oh, you know, only beat Mississippi State by 10. But, like, Georgia was up 34-10. And then just kind of, I think they probably mentally took their foot off the gas. And, you know, Mississippi State played Texas the week before and was actually closer at halftime than Mississippi State was to Georgia. So I just, we'll see about that. I mean, we really don't know the real Georgia. Like, have they played a complete game?
No.
Other than Tennessee Tech? No. I mean, the Clemson one is the one that looks the best on paper at the final score, but it was, you know, 6-0 at the half.
Right.
It was the second half when they exploded. If they play the way they did the second half against Alabama, they're going to win the national championship. But if they play the way they did in the first half, they're going to go 8-4 and not even make the playoffs. So we don't know. I think we'll know a lot. I think if Georgia plays a really competitive game on Saturday, even if they lose and it's a close game, I think you have to feel good about them going down the stretch. But a loss is still a loss, and that really reduces their margin for error as far as making the playoff and probably eliminates them from SEC championship game consideration.
Seth Emerson's with us, guys, talking about the Dogs in the biggest game of the year in Austin. In the trenches, Carl's talked about it. I mentioned, you know, the injuries and the offensive line guys out of position. And then the game plan. Is a shootout and just throwing it around all day, is that going to be what they're going to do, or do you like to see them run a little bit more under Bobo?
You know, I think without Colby Young and without Ra-Ra Thomas over the summer, losing him too, they don't really have an X receiver, that outside receiver guy. And I still think they have good receivers. They're more speedy guys. They're more slot, split end, flanker type guys. And they might need to embrace that. And – you might need to play a different way, almost a, I won't say like a Tennessee Ole Miss type offense, but, you know, spread out and use the pass to set up the run. You've got two dynamic tailbacks in Nate Frazier and Trevor Etienne who specialize in, you know, kind of the more speed rather than the bruising of Branson Robinson, who's injured now. Mike Bobo tends to, over the years, when you look at him, to fit his play calls and his system to what the talent says. You know, 2011, 12, 13, they were more of a throwing team because, you know, Aaron Murray and those receivers, and Malcolm Mitchell and company, they were, you know, that was their specialty. 2014, when they had Gurley, Chubb, Michelle, they ran it a lot and had the highest scoring offense in school history. And if you also look at Bobo's track record, whether it was last year at Georgia or those last 4 years in his first stint, 2011, 2014, they get better as the year goes on. Last half of the season, they are humming as an offense. So it could be a case here of he's kind of figured out, all right, this is who we are. And I think you might see more of that kind of spread it out, pass to set up the run, consistent downfield attack. But, you know, they still want to run the ball. I don't know if you're trying to shorten the game against Texas or even really worry about that too much. They're, you know, Texas has a really good offense and really good passing game. Georgia has a really good offense and passing game. So they're similar in that way, although Georgia may be better at running back.
How do you assess Carson Beck's season? He's been great at times, not so great at other times. Like, that's how I visualize him and watching these first, you know, six games. How do you see him?
Yeah, I mean, inconsistent, but really good when he was good. But like looking at his numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but he might end up with more passing yards than last year. But he already has two games of multiple interceptions, and he had zero of those last year. He never threw more than one in a game. So, you know, just some stuff to work on. He hasn't had Bowers. And McConkey is kind of that safety valve, although he didn't have McConkey for like most of the first half of last year either, and then he didn't have Bowers for three regular season games and had him only a limited basis in the SEC championship. Like I think it's a little overrated. I keep hearing this, you know, lazy narrative that Georgia just doesn't have the receivers and tight ends that, you know, they had. I mean, yeah, they don't have a first round pick like they did last year, and they don't have a five star, but They are third in the nation, not the SEC, the nation, in pass plays of 20 and 30 plus yards in each. Who's catching those balls? Like, they're receivers. They're tight ends. Like, Lawson Lucky is really good. They're good. And Carson Beck has done a good job of getting them the ball for those plays a lot of the time. I think the offensive line blocking needs to be more consistent. And Beck has had some times where he hasn't made the right decision or maybe has made a, you know, kind of throw that he didn't make last year. So, yeah, and I think he's still been, on the whole, pretty good. But he clearly can be a little better.
We talked a lot of Seth Emerson joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline about, you know, like the historically good defenses. You know, and that's something that is it just – Not to belabor the point, but you had rock stars. I mean, the like Trayvon Walkers and the Jordan Davises and the Jalen Carters, the guys, you know, half the Eagles team, for instance. Is that just an average defense just makes Georgia just like everybody else in the top 15?
Yeah, it's kind of jarring to look at their stat ranking now. In the SEC, they're 12th in defensive yards per play. And they've played some good offenses, especially Alabama. And you know, Mississippi State's kind of an underrated offense. It just, I think they may be kind of catching up to where they should be. But, you know, they've also been inconsistent. Like, they looked like a great shutdown defense against Clemson. And they kept the offense in the game against Kentucky. But they've regressed since then, at least results-wise. I mean, obviously, the first half against Alabama was terrible, but, you know, then they firmed up in the second half. But, you know, and then, you know, they didn't do bad against Auburn, and for a half against Mississippi State, they were fine too, but in the second half just kind of slacked off a little bit. And, you know, I think in the secondary, you're it's not shocking. I mean, they lost three members of the secondary who were all in the NFL, and like, Tyke Smith is doing really well there. But I'm surprised. I'm not surprised that other teams are running on them, because I wondered about that with the D line, especially up the middle, because that was a, you know, something you wondered about coming off last season too. I am surprised by how teams are doing it. It's more to the edges. If they can firm up on the edges, and it's really about speed and swarm to the ball, then I think they'll be a lot better as a defense, and they'll take their chances with other teams passing on them. That's the Kirby Smart mantra with defenses. We're not going to let you run on us. We're going to make you one-dimensional. And too often, other teams have not had to be one-dimensional because they've been able to run better than Georgia's used to having teams run against them.
Yeah, and I think that's just me, Seth. I think it's personnel. I mean, like, I think to Mike's point, like, you don't have those big stoppers up there, so you're struggling a little bit more than you normally would. Let me ask you this last thing for me. Do both Alabama and Georgia make the playoff? I see these games as elimination games, right? If Georgia loses this weekend, that's two L's. If Alabama loses to Tennessee, that's two L's. There will be a bunch of one-loss teams potentially in front of them. How do you look at that?
I think Alabama and Georgia at 10-2 make the playoff. Tennessee at 10-2, I think, makes the playoff.
Okay.
Because if you play out their schedules, they will have quality wins. If Georgia loses this game, they've already got Clemson as a quality win. Unless they collapse, they could end up winning the ACC. But if they go 10-2 after losing this one Saturday, that means they beat Ole Miss and Tennessee. If Alabama loses on Saturday, but then goes 10-2, they've still got the Georgia game on their resume, unless Georgia classes, obviously. But they'd also end up with a win over LSU and Missouri. I might be forgetting someone else.
But, nope, those are the two ranked teams.
I don't think there are – and if Tennessee loses this game, but they finish 10-2, they end up having a win at Georgia on their resume too.
Right.
So I don't and I think there's
– This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join MIDI.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some 9-3 teams that'll be in contention, but it's all guys. It you got to look at the big picture. It's not, you can't automatically say it. Like, what if there are some really good teams? Like Big Ten looks like they got three teams now. And what if Indiana keeps it going,
right,
for instance?
Right.
What if the Big 12 ends up with two teams in there? You know, Iowa State and BYU, yep, and K-State. Like, you know, and Notre Dame. Like, Georgia fans and other SEC fans should probably root for Georgia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah.
You want to knock Notre Dame off the map. So you got to think the way you do with the NCAA tournament when you're looking at the bubble. Like, it's not – the committee's not going to sit around and say, all right, we're going to pick the number of teams we think are worthy of the playoff. We don't care the number. No, it's 12. They're picking 12. And you're competing not just against what your record's going to be, but against the records of other teams.
Absolutely. Great point. Seth Emerson, great job. Follow him, guys. He covers the Dogs and the SEC for the Athletic. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you.
In Henry County on 75 southbound through Stockbridge and northbound through McDonough and Locust Grove. Discover your dream car at 5-star Ford Stone Mountain. Competitive pricing, friendly staff, and our exclusive 5-star lifetime warranty await you. Visit 5starfordsm.com or stop by 3800 U.S. Highway 78 today, 4 miles east past Stone Mountain. I'm Ian Stark from the Game Time Traffic Center, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Freaky has got the night show. Want to say hello to all the NFL owners in town, specifically Jerry Jones. Mike, this happened today.
I'll make sure you're not asking those questions next week.
I heard, Jerry.
I will get y'all fired.
Yes. Today on our sister station in Dallas, Shannon, RJ, these guys have been doing this show, their show, for a very long time. They've had Jerry on for a very long time. But I just want you to hear it. This is something we played earlier, Yeah Man, No Man. It did go viral with the owners right in town. I thought it was fitting to play again.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Oh!
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. Not kidding you.
Oh!
You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong.
Okay.
I mean, you've been on this show babbling like a brook for a decade. You know, we play all those sound bites where he talks in circles. Well, when we look at Dak and what he's accomplished. Yeah, I mean, the Cowboy, I feel bad. No, I can never feel bad for Cowboy fans, but I'm almost feeling bad for them because you can't pick your owner. And the team is in free fall.
No.
They're lost. And, you know, he did, like, there's some things he got right. You brought this up earlier. He had offensive line cooking for a while, had some good skill position players. You know, he vacillated on doing or not doing the deal with Dak, and then Dak's gotten the big money, and Dak's not looked great, if we're honest, at times either.
No, there's a lot on him. And I just think, you know, for Jerry, there's a lot now on his plate at 82 when he's stressing, Mike, about winning a Super Bowl before his time is done. Let's just be honest. And he's pressing because he feels like he's tried to do everything that's possible to make this team better. The reality is he didn't. This was a weak offseason for them. And so to question the guys and their questioning, or at least their line of questioning, you're not going to question me. Well, you've been answering these questions for a long time, and if you don't like the line of questioning, don't come on the show. But don't threaten guys' jobs.
Right.
Don't bully guys because you are Jerry Jones. And he, listen – in Dallas, Texas, or for that matter, the state of Texas, Mike, he might as well be the governor. Okay, let's just be honest. He's got a lot of weight, and what he says in many cases goes. The Cowboys are an amazing brand that he's helped build up even more so than when he bought it. I get all of that, but that just looked like a jerk move today. When he did it, I'm just going to say, when he did it, I think the guys were kind of caught off guard. You hear that awkward pause?
Yeah.
Shannon, RJ, like, did he just say what? Like, yeah. That's weird.
I'm going to not do your show anymore. Most guys interpret it in our business like, I'll get you guys fired. You know, that's the way most guys read it. It's just jive. And look, you just touched on it. They get all that money. It's the most prosperous team in the league.
Yep.
The star facility, Frisco, we talked about earlier. Anybody who's been in that stadium, it's insane. And they just can't. They literally can't put the cherry on top of the sundae. They can't even get to the conference championship.
All right, real quick before we get out of here. Are we talking with John? Is he there?
Okay.
All right.
Well, now, by the way, while the owners are here, you mentioned it. I mean, maybe we could go get Bob Kraft. We'll get in a limo, go down to Buford Highway, find some fun.
No, that's not right.
What?
Hey, Yankees Guardians tonight. Who you like?
Well, if good triumphs over evil, we're all pulling for the Guardians tonight. But, you know, Garrett Cole and that big payroll, they're probably going to take out the Guardians. I hate to say it, but and the Guardians were really right there with the Yankees, just a few games behind as far as the loss comp. Just
yes.
But the Yankees at home, I mean, we're all pulling for them. I mean, I am. Can't stand the Yankees.
Yeah,
hate them.
They're up 1-0.
It's like for the sun to come up. And granted, they haven't been in the World Series in forever. But, I mean, world's smallest violin for that payroll.
Yeah, they're 1-0 up in this series. We'll see what happens tonight. If you've not paid attention, Mets tied that series up with the Dodgers. Mike and I were talking about this. They're going back to New York. That's going to be crazy. And I don't give the Mets – I did not give them a chance to win this series. They're in this thing now.
It's going to be pretty lit up at Citi Field. The Mets just announced that they're going to have some legacy players. It's going to be Doc Gooden throwing out the first pitch to Darryl Strawberry.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're trying to bring all that back.
Yes.
Okay.
And for a lot of folks, there'll be a lot of –
Is that you?
Yeah, you know Doc Gooden broke my heart.
Is that you?
Strawberry, not as much. All but right. Doc Gooden broke my heart as a child, you know, as a teenager as it was.
Tomorrow, by the way, quick reminder, we are at Flowery Branch, guys. We'll talk to Coach Raheem Morris and also a couple of players to stop by. Make sure you're here starting at 2. We got a couple of other guests as well. Big show planned tomorrow, so make sure you're here. Chris, we got to get out of the way, man, and make way for the night show. Let's clear our throat. Big shout out to all of our guests. They're online at Odyssey.com. Seth Emerson, you heard that interview. Also, Wes Durham stopped by today. Great stuff from him talking about the Falcons. Can we make it 4 in a row? We're going to start that conversation tomorrow with Coach Ra as we make our way up there to Flowery Branch. And what is it going to take against the Seattle Seahawks team? They're on a losing streak, Mike. They're going to be hungry for a dub when they come in here on Sunday. We'll get into all of that and much more. Make sure, again, you are here at 2. Chris, great job. He's handling all the things today. Big O is off this week. He's executive producing and running our board. So thanks so much. Mike Bell, we got to make way, man, for John Fricke. Stay tuned. He's got you covered. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. First, we had the old AP and the UPI and the ridiculous alphabet soup that would decide a national champion. Then we had the BCS, and then we had the college football playoff, and it pretty much worked. No one really cried that much over the 5th team until FSU took it in the shorts the last year that was 4. Now we go to 12. The one thing for certain, we're not even up to the college football playoff's actual poll. We'll get that soon enough. It always seems to have a way of working out. And if we're really splitting hairs over the 13th versus 12th team, I still think you're going to see all the big brands. It's going to be all SEC, all Big Ten, and a little bit of the Big 12 sprinkled in.
I have one request and one request only. I don't know what will be happening in 2028, but we get Super Bowl 62. And congratulations to Mr. Blank and everybody associated with helping the city get another Super Bowl. But the halftime show better be Atlanta-centric. It's the only thing I'm asking. Again, I don't know what's happening in 2028. I don't even know who the hot artist will be. And I don't care. We better get a halftime show that's Atlanta-centric. With that said, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're not interested in seeing Outkast?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.